Good morning, everybody. Is my microphone working? Is it? All right. I can't tell. It does sound boomy, though, now that I think about it. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Daniel Wheat. I grew up here, so teaching all of these people who have, many of you have taught me, is a little intimidating. But I'm excited about it. So this is the social media interlude, as you can see by the nifty slide that Jeff put together up there. But today we're talking about anonymity, which, of course, is the hardest of the topics to pronounce. Anonymity, which the definition is pretty nebulous, the state or quality of being anonymous. So, anonymous, from or by a person, author, etc., whose name is unknown or withheld. Jeff gave me this cool little book with the title, $3 Worth of God, with a interesting thing to say about this. I'll just read this real quick. It's sort of a commentary on Mark 15:13, where it says, "And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.'" So it says, "Crucify him. Who said that? Would you give us your name, please? Are you one of the ones who ate the loaves and fishes when Jesus fed the crowd? Are you one of the ones who let your children be blessed by the master? Tell us who you are. If you're so eager to see a public execution, sign the register. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? You're faceless. You have no name. You shout, 'Crucify him,' and then melt into the crowd. Without the mob behind you, you wouldn't have a scrap of courage. Your name is anonymous. You write letters, but never sign them. You make phone calls, but never identify yourself. You have strong lungs, but a weak backbone. You're worse off than Barabbas, who he had a name. You're worse off than Pilate, who also had a name. You're even worse off than Judas. At least he's on the record books. By the way, there's one thing you've overlooked. God knows your name." So that's pretty intense, but we're going to not have that intense of a thing. But I just thought that was a really good example of how anonymity kind of comes out in our lives and how we kind of use it more frequently than not. So why talk about anonymity on the internet? Just real quick, anybody have an idea? Just throw it out. We won't worry about microphones for this one. Why is this a big deal?
Certain people, everyone is going to say things that they would not say if they were identified.
So right.
Certain voters, people say things that they would be ashamed of saying.
So people kind of say things that they wouldn't say to other people face to face. I think that's pretty true. Another thing is, I think the internet is one of the biggest places where people choose to have an anonymous name or not give their real name when they're interacting with other people. And so anonymity on the internet is pretty big as far as, you know, Facebook generally, your name is on it, but things like YouTube, let's look at some of these things. LinkedIn, your name's on it. But Tumblr, Facebook, or YouTube, Instagram, all those things, it's just anonymous. Nobody knows who you are unless you let them know who you are. And if they searched real hard, they could figure it out. But there's a lot of anonymity. So how about some pros and cons of anonymity on the internet? Okay. People speak up when they normally wouldn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what John was saying, and would you say that's a pro or a con?
That's a con.
Yeah. It could be both, like, you know, saying something really nice that you were too scared to say, or saying something really mean. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit more later. Any more pros and cons? Yeah. So there's no consequences, pro or con. Depends on how you look at it, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wikipedia is a great example of that. So truthfulness, people don't have to be truthful. Example from my life, when I found out that you could edit Wikipedia back in my high school days, I thought, this will be fun. And so Fort Collins High School was the home of a world-famous trumpet player named Daniel Wheat for a while. And then also some mountain in the middle of China that's really big. I made my brother the first person to climb that without oxygen ever. And so, and he did that in 1988. And he was born in 1987, so it was very impressive. But those all got changed, but that's a good point. Truthfulness is something that isn't really checked on the internet. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, and anonymity, that's true. You can say the truth without worrying about getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. So anonymity kind of wipes the slate clean if you have a bad reputation or something, or even just a reputation. Yeah. Not even necessarily a bad reputation. Here's one kind of along with those two. Government protest, a lot of times, in the internet age at least, there's a lot of times where anonymous writers are covering these things because their government won't let them print in the newspaper what they're putting up. So that's kind of a pro. And it's, you know, you don't have to worry about the repercussions if you're truly anonymous. But I think that's a pretty good amount for now. We'll move on. Some examples of how people use anonymity on the internet. How many of you have seen a me singing video? I think they make up about 80% of the videos on YouTube, and it's usually like teenage girl singing pop song. So this is teenage girl singing pop song at her school talent show, and this is the comment on it. My talent show is way better with better singers and better producers than you. Your voice is way too quiet. There is nothing that makes you stand up. You should have made the song your own in some ways. The music is too loud for voice. So overall, you have a 5 out of 10. You have, like, no stage presence, and I hate that you sang this song. It has no standing vocals at all, and that you kept rubbing your stomach makes me annoyed, and your face is messed up. Just helping you become better, and I'm being honest. So this is one of the few that's clean, but Jeffrey T. with the anonymous picture, the epitome of anonymity right there. But, you know, he just wanted to say all these mean things about this 15-year-old girl who had the courage to sing in front of her whole school. So that's very common. I think most of the videos that you'll find on YouTube, there's some kind of comment like that. Which brings us to example number two, which is this. Do any of you know what this is? Yeah, Jeff knows, but I showed him the slide already. You know, in the back? Troll face, yes. What is a troll face? So trolls, that guy on the last video is a troll. And why we call them trolls, I don't really know why we call them trolls, but what they do is they go and find something and comment on it in a way that is obviously controversial, or they're looking for a fight. They're looking to stir up controversy. So you see these... I looked up on the internet which sites have the worst comments. YouTube was number one, but some of the other ones were newspapers. And so news articles, a lot of times people will comment and just say something completely to the opposite of what the flavor of the piece that was written is, just because they're looking for controversy. And they're usually anonymous. I did this one backwards. So private browsing, people think that's anonymous. This is a way that people become invisible on the internet. And this is less social media, but still relevant, I think, to the topic. So those are the examples. So what's the problem with anonymity on the internet? I think we really covered that already. People use it for bad. People also use it for good, but more frequently for bad. So, yeah, it is. Like that thing out of that book said, when you're standing by yourself, it's harder to speak up, especially if it's something that you don't want actually people to know that it was you. Yeah, definitely. So I have just some discussion questions for us to get to here. Why is it important that I represent Christ even when nobody knows who I am? I'm anonymous on the internet. Nobody knows that I'm a Christian. Why should I still represent Christ? Chuck? Yeah. Cool. Yep. Yeah. Justin. Martha? All really good points. And this question, I was really hoping that this is the direction it would take. I think this one's pretty obvious. Why is it important that I represent Christ even on the internet when nobody knows who I am? Because that should be who you are. Even on the internet, you are still representing yourself, even if nobody knows who you are.
Well, if you think about it, you know, Christ told us, you know, we should be on that hill letting our light shine. We're supposed mm-hmm. to make ourselves visible, not go hide in dark closets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're supposed to represent who we are, but we're all supposed to represent Christ to the world. And if we hide behind a false identity, how can we represent, how can we spread that word?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be out there in the open, in the light.
Yeah, that's literally the last verse I have for today, so you got it. Yep. Just some verses that... Go ahead. Also one of the verses that we're going to read later. But it's good. We're starting to summarize and then move in. Doug. Whoa, Doug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, so giving anonymously is good. Yeah, you're right. The anonymity by itself isn't bad, right? Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Also, welcome back. Glad you're feeling better. So I've got a couple verses sort of about this one. Why do I represent Christ even when nobody who knows who I am? 1 Timothy 5:24 through 25 says, "The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that cannot be hidden, even those that are not, cannot be hidden." So that's one. This one also, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." That sums it up, first of all, so far. "A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So, God cannot be mocked. I think that's pretty blatant about, even if you think you're being anonymous and you don't have to represent Christ online, nobody will ever find out. God still knows. He cannot be mocked. Then real quick, 1 Peter 1:13-16. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Be holy because I am holy. We're called to this standard of being holy because God's holy. And that doesn't just refer to our physical self. And this is, you know, this is kind of a new topic, but not really. We think it's a new topic because the internet is new and nobody's had that online presence before. But that's just another part of who we are now. Our internet profiles and our that reflects who we are still. And that reflects, you know, hopefully God, if we're living sort of that life that's in sync with itself. Let's move on to the next question, which, based on the discussion from that one, may not have much discussion. If you could gain $10,000 in your bank account, let's say maybe from Bill Gates' bank account, with one click, anonymously and untraceable, would you do it? I think I'll just answer that maybe. No. Yeah. So I think everybody agrees on that. Probably no, right? But then maybe think about that. Temptation is easier to handle when you're sitting in a room of believers, right? $10,000 is about as much as I made my whole college career at all of the jobs I worked. So, you know, honestly answering, that would be a big temptation to say, oh, nobody will ever know. This is hard, you know. But once again, God cannot be mocked. And so, you know, once it comes down to it, I hope I'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's true. I mean, $10,000 is a lot of money, though. I can't think of many people who would think, oh, no, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't even think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would I do about that to prevent myself from continually coming across that temptation?
Yeah.
And you know, would I be willing to give up what we consider normal, which is internet access?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I ask someone to sort of, you can do 5 programs and send everything you click on and do to somebody else with an accountability plan? A lot of men who struggle with pornography are doing things like this where they mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even anything that is negative, Jesus and an eye. But he really means whatever it is, you know, you can sacrifice a lot more than you think to avoid temptation. So I think probably tempted. And then I would worry about every time I sat down on my computer being tempted again until I just gave in. So would I have the wherewithal
Yeah. This, like he was saying, this question sort of represents the internet and the temptations of the internet, because what the internet tells us is you can have this just by clicking here, and nobody will ever know, and there will never be any consequences. And that's not really true. You know, we know that as Christians, that consequences aren't just what immediately happens when you do something, like getting thrown in jail for stealing $10,000 from Bill Gates. Maybe he wouldn't even care, but who knows? I'm sure he would, but yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think, and you know, maybe with the $10,000 thing, I think maybe a better question, or maybe a more, like, you may have experienced this question, is what about downloading music? Because that's one click, and nobody ever knows, and there are no consequences, right? But you're still taking something that somebody else owns, right, and downloading it to your computer for free. Kind of the same question, and I think that one's maybe a little bit more relevant, because it's not this obvious, like, oh, of course I'm not going to take $10,000 from someone. That's very obvious. But that one song, you know, I think probably if I had thought ahead and actually done some research, there's a huge chunk of music downloaded from the internet that nobody ever pays for, and that in turn hurts the artists and musicians. While it doesn't, you know, for some of them it's like, you know, a drop in the bucket, so we think, oh, it's not a big deal. Like $10,000 would be a drop in the bucket for Bill Gates, but it's kind of the same concept. Yeah.
It's almost like you dehumanize in a general sense. I mean, it's easy to forget that if you could steal from Bill Gates, he's a person on the other end of that computer, or you're making a Facebook or a comment that's arguing with somebody. Mm-hmm. You're just arguing with some Facebook, you forget that they're a human.
Right. Yeah, and that's the huge deception of the internet, or the huge problem with the internet, is that it removes humanity from the equation. We look at the internet and think, these aren't my neighbors; these are just, you know, Jeffrey T. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah.
Because it's difficult. I mean, for me, I can name names. I'm Maria and I'm Clay Cup. I have all these names in those communities. And the person that I am, if I become a little bit more aggressive, then that can start to bleed through into my life, even in other areas.
And it does. And I think that's a great point. And I think we'd all agree that our culture is shifting towards this text-based and internet-based communication. That's becoming most of our communication. And so when most of our communication is this way, we sort of forget how we're supposed to treat people, because there's no face and there's no emotion. You don't see, oh, what I just said hurt someone. But
I think our fake part is the one
question six. But yeah, I agree. Did you have something to say still? Okay, I thought you had your hand raised. Go ahead.
Devious-minded individual that I am, and I couldn't hear what everybody said.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Someone said this. But what if I took that $10,000 and gave it to Paul Langdon Arthur? Mm-hmm. He'd probably get 10,000 baptisms. Now, I'm still stealing it.
Yeah. I was hoping somebody would bring up that point, because that is a good point. In just for the sake of discussion, and I think that's something that we use to rationalize a lot. Well, I'm giving it to a good cause, so it's more okay, you know. And I'm not saying that you're saying that, yeah, we should just do it because it's okay. But that's a great discussion point, you know. If you could, with a click of a button, take $10,000 from Bill Gates' account into Paul Ranganathan's account, or Wishing Well from OC, they drill wells in Africa, or Give a Goat, who gives goat to people in the Philippines. What's the question like then? What's the answer like then? Is it harder to say, oh, no way, because it's maybe a little bit more blurred, but you're still stealing, right? See? Well, maybe someone who's not as philanthropic as Bill Gates, like lead singer for the Rolling Stones, maybe. He's probably just as rich. But Sue? Yeah.
I thought there ought to be a scripture for Jim's comment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, that
might be similar. Yeah, I think sort of, I guess, go ahead. Yeah, or Ananias and Sapphira as well. They said they were giving their money. Okay, that makes sense. I thought, I know who they. I know they're in the Bible. I'm not sure. Yeah, go ahead. Well, different people. That depends. But what were you going to say? Yeah.
I think it depends on what your motive is. If your mm-hmm. motive is to call attention to yourself and say, hey, look at the wonderful, great things I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
go anonymously. Now, if your goal is to bring glory to Christ, to say, see what someone whose heart is Christ-like will do for others and bring him the glory, mm-hmm. you go out there and advertise who you are.
Well, and some people would say the exact opposite, that if we're going out there and advertising who we are, it's not showing our heart as much as it's showing that we're trying to show people that we're good instead of just we are good. We go out and we do good things because that's who we are, you know? And so some people, I've heard it say, you know, some people say, if you're going out and trying very obviously to look like you're, you know, to put this big sign up that says Christians at work, you know, then maybe you're not quite getting the point. But at the same time, I don't think we should ever try to hide who we are. You know, I don't think we should say, oh, well, we can't take the church bus that says Church of Christ on it, because then people would know we're Christians, and we don't want them to know that. So, yeah, good points. We're going to move on real quick because I have 5 more questions and 15 more minutes. So we're going to skip some questions, I think. I'll just say this one for personal thought. You guys can think about it later or during Jeff's sermon or something. But that's what I do. How many identities do you have? Just think about that sometime after Jeff's sermon, maybe. How many identities do you really have? You have your one person, I am here, identity, this is me, you know, my driver's license, terrible picture, that kind of stuff. And then what are the other identities you have? How many of these social media accounts do you have? I count like five, just off the six, maybe off the top for me. And then with that question, are you the same person throughout all those identities? Or do you have a different personality with each one? Are you representing the same human being in all of those accounts? Then moving on to the next question, should Christians ever decry each other on Facebook? So, example, if you have a problem with another Christian or group of Christians that you know or do not know, or maybe have just heard of, should you ever air that on Facebook? Getting a lot of no's, but looking at Facebook, not saying it's any of you, I see that all the time. That's probably one of the biggest things. You probably all saw the article about the preacher who came to his new church as a homeless man, and nobody welcomed him and anything, which turned out to be a lie. It wasn't real. It was a fake story, but so many people were posting that and said, I can't believe this is how Christians are. Christians saying bad things about other Christians. Should that be, does it have any place on the internet?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm. Christians just go after each other on that website, and it paints a picture of division in the world.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, like Corey said earlier, this anonymity, and you lose the humanity, because how many people, if you look in the churches and they blame the sin that's going on and nobody says anything, mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times this is directed at people that we've never even met and never will meet. You know, it's this group of Christians in general aren't really Christians because they believe this. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, thanks. You can go, and then you.
I love how the Bible makes everything so simple, really. Like, really, everything fits under love God, all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others more than yourself. Like, everything in the internet, if you remember those two things, like, you will be yourself, you will honor God, you love Him more, and you will honor people and love people more than yourself. You'll call them out in front of other people, embarrass them, or be mean to them online, or dehumanize them online, because you're truly remembering that they are more important than you. And, like, it's all good. It's so easy, right? It's so hard to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
love
God and love others. That's really easy to understand, but incredibly difficult, surprisingly, sometimes to put into practice. Go ahead. Yep, they'll know us by our love. And if you're talking bad about the other Christians the whole time, you know, how does that represent your love? I don't. I have. No? Go for it.
It's about lawsuits among believers.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, why are you guys going to court in front of the ungodly?
Yeah.
And then at the very end of that, it says you go to law against one another
Yeah.
God has never said we can't work out our differences, or that we can't talk through what we think is right according to Scripture. But in this case, he seems to be saying, if we're doing, airing our dirty laundry as believer against believer in front, in public, then we're damaging the community.
Yeah.
I think it applies in this case.
It's the public versus private. You know, this private conversation is maybe one that needs to take place. Probably better face-to-face than on the internet through emails or Facebook message or whatever. But in a kind of example of that, I have a certain relative who at one point asked her husband for their bank account numbers via a Facebook wall post. Kind of the same thing. Like, don't do that. So just like that, don't air your grievances with another Christian, even if it's this huge thing and you want the non-Christians on the internet to see that you really get it and you're not against them and there's some Christians. That's not the way to do it. Live your life as a way that is an example to who you are. In the back there. Right. Trolls. Yep. People that are looking for controversy, which 1 Timothy has something to say about that. That's not 1 Timothy, but I might read that here in a second. First Ephesians 4:29-32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's the Facebook audience around. If you're not putting something on there that's going to build someone else up or meet their needs and benefit those who are listening, don't put it on there. And then continuing, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, not what's up there, but the forgiving each other and the getting rid of bitterness is, I think, what we forget most of the time. I think this Christian is doing something wrong, so I'm just going to blast them via internet, you know, instead of humility, taking this with humility and saying, there's probably been a time when somebody's looked at me and said, that person's not acting like Christ.
On Facebook would be absolutely inappropriate, especially when you do it with some nice people or the way you live in the way. You know, but I mean, I debate on Facebook quite often if it's abortion. You know, well, it's simple. Love one another and love God. Well, you know, I love all these unborn babies that are being slaughtered, you know. So I'm going to dispute when somebody's trying to support abortion, those that support abortion.
Right. Yeah.
They deserve life, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I always view things like that, or another really sensitive subject, homosexuality. And I mean, I've been in several different, you know, whatever, Facebook places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I think, you know, with that last verse that I just read, I think the part where it says that it may benefit those who listen, I think in situations like that, it's important to think about who are all the people who are looking at this conversation to, and am I in the long run going to be damaging them, or am I going to be building them up? And that is both of those are very controversial topics, and my personal opinion is that we should just keep those off of Facebook. You know, Facebook has generated this whole new realm of, I can argue all these things right here, But I think probably the most common thing on the internet that I see is that nobody's going to change my beliefs through a Facebook post, you know. And you may be good at it. You may be writing the right things. But sometimes I think that can be somewhere where it's easy to fall, where it's easy to turn into something negative, you know. Thanks for your comment. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I think another verse that's kind of good for this is 1 Peter 2:11-12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So to your point, people think that we're doing things wrong based on the beliefs that we have a lot of times. But here in 1 Peter, he's calling us to live such good lives that they have nothing to stand on when they call us that. And so these opinions that we have, you know, when we're expressing them, we're called to express our opinion. You know, we're called to live for Christ all the time, not shut down our opinions because they might make somebody uncomfortable. I don't think we're also supposed to yell out our opinions in order to convince the whole world at, you know, at any time, because generally yelling out all of these opinions is going to cause conflict with some people who could be potentially be brought to Christ. But I think if we're being wise in how we talk, and if we're controlling our tongue to where everything that we're saying is seasoned with salt, which is one of the verses that I'm not going to get to because almost out of time. But if we're careful in how we speak to each other and how we speak to outsiders, which is another verse that we're not going to get to, be wise in how you act towards outsiders, you know, we're called to support what God wants. We're Christians. We're his people. We should be standing up for what's godly and standing up for what pleases God, and not sympathizing with what displeases him. Corey? Yep. Yeah. Right. Yeah, self-sacrifice a little bit there. I think, you know, this brings up kind of a point that I would guess, I wasn't really alive earlier than 1990, I wasn't at all, but I would guess that before the internet existed and before things like Facebook were around, people still had these conversations and these sort of debates amongst themselves, but they weren't online where everyone in the world can see them. So if you're having this conversation between you and another Christian about some topic that is important or not important, and you're doing it you know, in a non-controversial way or not a hateful way. It's one thing when you're in a closed room by yourselves talking, studying the Bible together. It's kind of another thing when you, you know, kind of transpose your topic onto the internet where a bunch of people who don't know you or who don't know what your spirit is in this, which tone is impossible to convey via text, by the way, but, you know, it turns into this damaging sort of argument most of the time. Jason?
And I kind of wonder how it would work if we decided to not just influence the world that's at our fingertips, but to influence our world that's our daily life, and focus on the people, those relationships that we can see face to face, and truly work on influencing those relationships. I mean, I picture it being like our influence would spread and like lava spreads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Facebook evangelism or internet evangelism stuff is pretty commonly very fruitless, you know, because Facebook has dehumanized us and the internet has, because when we get on there and we start to say what we believe, people are like, okay, whatever, you know, I disagree with you, and I'm not going to give you the time of day because you're not a real person. You're just a screen name. But I think when we, in our day-to-day lives, are interacting with people and are real with them and are being God's light and showing the good we're living such good lives among the pagans that they have nothing to say about us, it's going to be a lot more of a witness to them. I think I'm following my dad's footsteps by being a little over time, but I'm going to keep going just real quick. A couple questions for you to think about, which I meant to get to. Why are people so often dark when they're anonymous? Why is that what we kind of tend to? And then question six, which my dad kind of hit on earlier, does social media do more to corrupt who we are or to reveal it? Just to think about that. Didn't read most of these, but this one, main point, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus talking about good fruit and bad fruit, and how the good that you bring up in yourself will come out of you as good, and the bad that you bring up in yourself will come out as bad. And then the end of that says, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So just real quick, maybe not quite, I did it wrong. I'll just read it. One more passage, and I think my dad was telling me last night I might have overprepared, so that's what he's snickering about back there. But Matthew 5:14-16, and I didn't hit all of the scriptures or questions that I meant to, but you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Whether you like it or not, Jesus is saying you are the light of the world, not you should try to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Anonymity is like putting a bowl on our lights. So let's stop doing that. You know, if we are who we are and we're okay with who we are and we've got that integrity to say that I'm going to be this person in real life and this person on the internet and they're the same, why do we have to hide? You know, how about we work on changing our attitude away from on the internet, I can say whatever I want, towards on the internet, people are still people and I'm still representing Christ. I'm still that light of the world. I'm a city on a hill. Just kind of think about that, you know, when we're interacting on the internet, why do we have to put a bowl on it? So very obviously out of time now. So let's pray real quick and then be gone. God, thank you so much for this amazing family of believers. God, I pray that we would continue to work through these things and figure out how we should best live to glorify you, whether it's in our daily lives, interacting with people face-to-face, or if it's on the internet through social media. God, thank you so much for sending your son for us and for giving us your word that we could sort of learn how to live by it. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks.